Joining us right now is John Lott. John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Oh, good morning. Great to talk to you guys.
Want to start off talking about something that just happened in the District of Columbia, which you know has very, very restrictive gun laws. A federal appeals court here blocked the law that makes it difficult for gun owners to get concealed carry permits. They said it infringes on residents' Second Amendment rights. Of course, it can go to a full appeals court to review. Do you think this is a step in the right direction? Will it stand?
Yeah, I think it's a huge change. Right now, Washington, D.C., it's only granted permits to 124 people.
What?
That's incredibly small. I mean, there's no other jurisdiction except for Hawaii, which has granted such a low rate of concealed carry permits.
And, John, just to interrupt, 124, to whom are those granted? Is that just, like, rich people and senators?
Pretty much. I mean, they don't have an official list, but I've talked to lots of people who've gotten them, or I've talked to some of the people who've gotten them, and I know a lot of people who have applied.
Wow.
I mean, I know people who have applied and gotten turned down who have had death threats. One person that tried to get a permit regularly carries valuables that are worth about $10 million or so, and he got turned down for getting a permit. And, of course, with the attack that we just had in Alexandria, Virginia, the consequences of these restrictive permits kind of become clear. I mean, here you had a situation where at least five of the people who were present there have concealed carry permits in their own state. But because of the extremely restrictive rules that D.C. has, they weren't legally able to carry when they were in D.C., whether they were leaving there in the morning from their residence or planning to return back after the baseball practice had occurred. And that basically left them defenseless when they were there. If it wasn't for Stephen Scalise's security, because he was a member of the leadership in the House,
yes,
it would have been a really horrible attack that had occurred there.
What are the effects today, John, of the appeals court ruling? Does that change anything in D.C. in terms of giving people a right to conceal carry, or is that process still kind of delayed?
Well, it's going to depend in part what D.C. tries to do at this point. They have several options. It can either go back directly to the district court, and the district court judge there has made multiple decisions there. We know where he's coming from on this. He's would implement some type of right to carry type law that we have in other states. Just to give people an idea, if D.C. had the average rate of carrying that we see in the 42 right to carry states, there'd be about 48,000 concealed carry permits in D.C. compared to the 124.
Unbelievable.
Why don't we see this spreading to states like California, Maryland, New Jersey, which all have very restrictive carry laws, that it's virtually impossible to get carry permits in some of those states?
Right. Well, what D.C. decides may end up affecting what happens in those states.
Okay.
Because if they appeal, they have two options to appeal. They can either have what's called an en banc hearing, which would mean the full D.C. Circuit Court will review it. And given that the Democrats control that quite strongly, it's very likely that this three-judge panel's decision would be overturned. And then the people who brought the case to begin with would then appeal it to the Supreme Court. And I think that there, at that point, there'd be a reasonable chance that the Supreme Court would take the case, and D.C. would have to worry it would be not only overturned for D.C., but would be used to set a precedent for the states that you just mentioned, like California and New York. California and New York, only about 3 out of every 10,000 people get a concealed carry permit, whereas if you look outside of California, New York, and D.C., you're talking about over 8% of the adult population with permits.
I want to talk about Baltimore for a second. Here's some of the sound in Baltimore last night as protesters were confronting police.
Ladies and gentlemen, please step back. Step back.
Step back. No, that's why you got a lawsuit.
So that was outside of a Baltimore City Council hearing in which they moved out of committee an effort. They watered down a piece of gun legislation that was originally supposed to impose 1-year minimum sentencing on people for having guns in the city. A lot of people upset with that, including some lawmakers who were saying, look, in Baltimore, you might have somebody illegally have a gun, but for self-defense. And that, to me, John Lott, suggests that there's some sense in Baltimore even that a Second Amendment right to carry is an important one.
No, I agree. And I think the watered-down version of the bill that they have is actually a better bill for the reason that you're bringing up, because now it would be an additional penalty if you're committing some other type of crime and you have an illegal gun. Big problem that you have in Maryland is just a few years ago, they adopted this licensing and registration of handguns. It costs $200, $250 or so to go through the process to legally license and register your handguns there in the state. It basically means that poor individuals, you know, are priced out of being able to legally own guns for protection.
You know, we talk about these cities oftentimes and having such restrictive gun control. But interestingly, I look at Barack Obama when he was a state senator in Illinois. Whenever they brought up gun control for Chicago, he would vote present on those things because he didn't want tougher penalties on his own constituents. Yet he's one of the most pro-gun control politicians I'm aware of. And I feel like the same thing's kind of happening in Baltimore.
Well, Obama, when he was in Chicago and Illinois, he actually did support a number of gun control rules. Like, for example, he would have banned the sale of guns within 1,000 feet of any government property. I think maybe it was even further. I think it was maybe like 5 miles.
But I mean, my point, John, is that he didn't want to impose stiffer criminal penalties on his own constituents. So on this minimum sentencing question, that's where the city of Baltimore seems to be going as well.
Right. Well, you know, here we just had a year or so ago when you had riots in Baltimore where the police were ordered to stand down and not go into the heavily black areas of poor areas in Baltimore where you were having the riots.
Right.
People were basically, you pass a law that makes it impossible for poor people to legally obtain a gun to be able to go and protect themselves.
Yes.
And then when you have riots, you order the police not to go in there in order to protect people.
Maybe a Second Amendment right would help prevent some of this nonsense from happening in Baltimore. John Lott, thank you very much for swinging by Mornings on the Mall.
Oh, no, thank you.